Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a lovely long weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, May 6th. Coming up today, we'll hear from Nigel Farage after Reform UK swept to victory in the local elections. And it's been a big few days for Ken's football clubs. We'll have reaction from all the biggest moments. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Neighbours of a new HMO in Sittingbourne say the property was converted without community consultation. The house on Rock Road is being turned into a six-bedroom house of multiple occupancy. It's raised concerns on the potential impacts on parking and drainage. Reporter Cara Simmons has been catching up with people who live nearby. Here's Andrew Elliott.
It's always been a quiet residential street full of families and retired people. And until this development started. And I don't think, so it's going to be an HMO, six bedrooms, six separate bathrooms. And I don't think the developers, stroke owners, or the council planning committee have even thought about what the impacts on the local area will be in terms of parking restrictions, drainage, because these five properties are all adjoined by drainage and water mains, noise. And it's just not an area that I would have thought is suitable for this type of development.
And also talk to me about sort of how you found out, how you sort of woke up to see the scaffolding being put on the house.
So we subsequently found out that 2 days after planning permission was granted that builders turned up just putting scaffolding up. Didn't think anything of it because we just thought maybe they were painting the outside or changing some of the roof tiles. And it was only 2 days later when the entire roof and all the supporting timbers was removed that we sort of raised the alarms with us. And it was only on that day that my sister-in-law happened to look on the Swellborough Council planning portal and noticed that an application had been approved for a six-bedroom HMO, which we were obviously shocked about.
How are you feeling about the whole situation? It must be really frustrating.
It is, because I've written to everyone I could possibly write to, building controls, council planning, local councillors, even the BBC, because the couple appeared on an episode of Homes Under the Hammer. Southern Water, who again told me that it's not their problem, it's the local planning authority. But then subsequently Southern Water have come out to say that the developers need to contact developer services. So they've obviously hit a problem at the moment. But it's just, the whole thing is just destroyed our lives over the last month.
Cara's also spoken to Melissa Beanie, who's a neighbour.
The noise has obviously been a really big issue. As I said, at one point they were working 12 hours a day, including on a Saturday.
And talk to me a bit, I know you don't drive yourself.
No.
But describe the parking situation here then.
Oh, the parking here is horrendous. Most houses now have got more than one car because you've got kids living at home still. And in the evening, the road is just chock-a-block. You literally won't find a parking space. So, I mean, as I said, when I have my shopping delivered, most of the time they're in the middle of the road because, you know, and if you added more cars onto that, it's not sustainable at all.
Yes, six extra cars.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Don't know where they're going to go.
And how did you find out about it becoming a HMO then?
So Jackie and Andy came and knocked on my door on the Saturday morning, spoke to my partner and told us. And obviously we were gobsmacked. Didn't see that coming at all. As I said, I fell for the lovely couple that knocked on the door with chocolate and, just thought they were having some work done before they moved in. As I said, it was an elderly gentleman's house, so probably did need a lot doing to it. So, definitely wouldn't have ever thought it was going to be a HMO. I feel really let down that everyone we've gone to try and get help or advice just isn't interested. I don't know if Andrew said they went to the Citizens Advice Bureau and their advice was to move. you just feel really let down. It's made me lose faith in local government and authorities altogether now.
The developer says the project has the approval of council, who would have assessed the infrastructure and community impact before granting permission.
Kent Online News.
A woman's been banned from driving after leading police on a chase through Dartford. Kim Sutton had cannabis and amphetamine in her vehicle when she was seen speeding and driving on the wrong side of the road in November last year. The 60-year-old from West Shore in Longfield has been ordered to pay more than £400 in fines and costs. A 1940s Spitfire plane has crash-landed in a farmer's field near Hythe. Fire crews and paramedics attended the scene on Saturday night. It's understood the pilot and passenger were unharmed. The flight experience operator, Fly a Spitfires, told us its pilot had to make a precautionary landing. A woman in her 60s has been flown to hospital following a serious collision on the Thanet Way near St Nicholas at Wade. It's understood a blue Skoda collided with a tree after leaving the London-bound carriageway of the A299. Officers from Kent Police are asking for anyone with dashcam footage to contact them. Attempts have started to recover a super yacht that sank off Sicily last August, killing seven people, including a couple from Sevenoaks. Jonathan and Judy Bloomer were on a vessel that sank following a storm. Marine salvage experts are trying to move the boat off the seabed. It could take up to 3 weeks. A body has been found by police searching for a missing man from Dartford. We're told the discovery was made in an area near Lowfield Street at around midday. The family of 61-year-old Wayne Parchment have been told, and the death not being treated as suspicious. Video has emerged of a fire that's broken out at a home in Ramsgate. Crews were called to Bellevue Avenue behind the Kennedy House flat block yesterday afternoon. Smoke can be seen coming from an open window. Elsewhere, two fire engines have been called to tackle a kitchen blaze near Canterbury. It broke out on Park View in Surrey yesterday evening. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started.
Kent Online News.
Control of Kent County Council has been handed to Reform UK after the party won 57 seats in last week's local election. Newly elected Reform councillors are expected to announce who will lead the council in the coming days. Nigel Farage was at a pub in Paddock Wood on Friday evening to celebrate. He had a quick chat with Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
This is the most seismic change in a day in the politics of this county and indeed this country that we've ever seen. Oh, you get general elections that swing one way and the other, but this is truly extraordinary. I always thought we'd do well in Kent, but this result is beyond my wildest dreams.
You're going to have a lot of media attention on you now, a lot of scrutiny ahead of the general election, whenever that next happens. Is this what you want? Is this going to be the right thing for Reform?
I've lived under scrutiny, more scrutiny than any other modern day politician for years and years and years. I'm not worried about that. What I'm determined, though, is one of the reasons that we got these votes is people feel let down by the two other parties, or should I say the Union Party, because that's how people feel about them. Lack of delivery, promises broken. What we have got to do is keep our promises and deliver here in Kent and elsewhere around the country. And that means getting in the auditors, looking at where money is being spent, asking questions about long-term contracts that have been signed, and making sure the County Council focuses on its priorities rather than the DEI agenda and climate change.
What is going to be your main priority, Reform's main priority at County Councillors?
Well, I would suggest if you think you can work from home under us, you might find yourself having quite a short, sharp conversation. And if you're working in DEI or climate change for the county, then perhaps alternative employment is where you should be looking. We want to slim down the size of local government to get it back to the basics and to make sure that council taxpayers start to get better value for money.
So job cuts are on the way?
Well, there may well be job cuts in areas like DEI, in areas like... Hey, we haven't looked at the books yet, I can't tell you. But we do need slimmed down local government and we need increased productivity. Public sector productivity has collapsed since the pandemic.
A Medway mum has slammed the local authority after they refused her daughter a parking permit and then cancelled hers as well. The Gillingham woman applied on behalf of her 17-year-old learner so she could park outside their house in Mill Road. But council said they're not living in a controlled parking zone and all permits for the family are now null and void. That's despite five signs along the family section of the road saying the zone is in force. Council have reversed the decision and apologised. There are plans to open more social supermarkets in Kent to help people struggling with the cost of living crisis. They've already been set up in Ramsgate and Ashford and are described as somewhere between a food bank and a normal supermarket. I've been chatting to Gina English from Social Enterprise Kent.
The social supermarket is it's a paid for supermarket. So we kind of see it between a food bank, and a mainstream supermarket, and it's to try and support people either moving from free food at a food bank to buying their food and having dignity and choice, and also trying to stop people from moving backwards and having to rely on food banks, and then also for those people that find themselves getting towards the end of the month and their money's not going as far. So it just provides a kind of in-between place for people to go to try and hopefully still be able to feed themselves and their family.
And so the food that's on offer at the social supermarkets being resold at a reduced price, is that right?
Yes. So it sold at approximately 60% of what you could buy it for in a supermarket, thereabouts. And it's a mixture of sort of reduced or short dated stock, things that we might have frozen to preserve them, and also food that's an oversupply. So for instance, we get some fruit and veg from gleaners. So that's fruit and veg that farmers weren't going to use to sell. So volunteers go in and they glean the farmers' fields, and then what they glean, they then give to social supermarkets and also people that give out food boxes.
Amazing. And okay, so we've got a second social supermarket site opening up in Ashford in Kent. Can you tell me a little bit about that project?
Yep. So we've got our social supermarket existing in Ramsgate, and the model works really well, which then prompted us to have conversations about starting the same model over in Ashford. And we were lucky enough to already be working with Sodexo, who are the managers at the Inland Border Facility in Ashford, and they wanted to have a positive impact in the local community. And we got some funding from them as to start the supermarket and do things like fitting out and buy stock and stuff through the Stop Hunger Foundation. So that's how it came about, and it's grown in popularity every week.
And when you were looking at opening up a second site, how do you identify whereabouts to open it? Where do you choose and say, okay, this community is in need of a social supermarket?
To be honest, in this day and age, there's probably a need for it, one in most communities, sadly. You know, it doesn't matter how affluent an area can appear from the outside, there's always pockets of deprivation. And again, with the cost of living creeping up and creeping up, more people who are in full-time work are finding themselves unable to afford to buy food. And you know, it can only take like one thing: your car goes wrong, or you've got a vet's bill, or some sudden bill that you didn't account for, and it just throws your whole budget out. In addition to food, we also have what we call wraparound support available in the shop. So we can support people with employment, so doing things like job searching, helping them write a CV, helping people to, you know, have interview skills pre-interviewed, so hopefully they're more successful. And then as well as that, because we want people to have long-term sustainable employment, there's other areas that we can give them support with as well. So digital skills, it could be that we help them with their budgeting, or we might look at their benefits to see if there's anything else that they might be able to claim.
A nursery in Ashford has been forced to leave its home of 30 years after the building was taken over. Little Acorns Preschool has been at the King's North Recreation Centre since 1995, but have been evicted by the Living Faith Church Worldwide, who want to turn it into a place of worship. They'll reopen in Furley Park Primary Academy and Park Farm in September.
Kent Online News.
We've got plenty of development news from around the county now. Permanent homes are set to be built on the site of a former community hall in Dymchurch. Plans were approved to build holiday lets on the site of the old Bowery Hall, but the developer wants to amend the scheme. It's hoped it will help to address housing demands in the area. A decision is expected in the summer. Plans are being resubmitted to build 35 new homes on farmland in Sandwich. Similar proposals for Archer's Low Farm were knocked back in 2023 for being an unwarranted intrusion into the landscape. Developers have now put together scaled back plans. If approved, the homes will be built on land between St George's Road and Sandown Road. Plans have been submitted to turn a pub in Gravesend into a mosque. An application to convert the peacock into a place of worship was knocked back over concerns over opening hours and the loss of a public house. Al Haq Academy says the new proposals address council's concerns. A decision is due by the end of June. People living in a retirement complex in Folkestone say they're incredibly anxious about a new live music venue opening opposite. An application has been submitted to reopen the Old Harp Club in the town centre. It could be allowed to stay open until 2 a.m. on weekends. Residents in Grace Court feel every day will be a living nightmare. A decision on the scheme will be made on May the 20th. And plans for new paddle courts in Chatham have been approved. The game, which has been described as a mix between tennis and squash, is growing in popularity across the county. The three courts will be launched behind the Tap and Tin nightclub.
Kent Online Sports.
We have plenty of football news to get through today, so let's start with Gillingham, who have ended their season with a win away to Port Vale. A debut goal from Aaron Rowe claimed the 1-0 win from the already promoted hosts on Saturday. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth speaking after the match.
Really, really pleased with the boys, and I'm proud of that performance. Defensively, we were absolute resolute. You know, we changed shape to combat what Port Vale bring. And yeah, the boys were excellent. First half, I thought we could have been better at holding the ball up. Kept coming back a little bit too easy, and there's a couple of hairy moments there, especially one when we played a lad onside. But after that, honestly, I think chances were few and far between, which they have been since I've come in. You know, we've really limited chances in the opposition. And this is a good side. This is a very good side. They're second in the league. They could have gone champions today, you know. I know there wasn't too much on it at the end because Doncaster have won. But, wow, brings back great memories being here, you know. It's a fantastic football club. And you know what? It just whets my appetite for seeing them celebrating, seeing everyone going on the pitch, seeing that what they've got around and how they've built it. We can do this, you know, we can. It's going to take time, and believe me, I don't want people getting carried away because I know it's a great run at the moment. But really, really proud of the boys today. Some super defending, and what a goal to finish it. You know, Aaron, he's a top, top quality player. He is, and I get more out of him. I get more out of the boys. Great to see Josh Andrews back out there, you know. Lads are adaptable, they really are, and yeah, looking forward to a few weeks off now, but we'll be busy at work trying to add some to the squad. I don't need too many. It's not the players aren't bad players. Whatever it is, it seems to have clicked at the moment. They're all buying in, and we will get better and better. But well done today, players. You were excellent, and thank you for the win. Sorry, Port Vale, it's my club. It means a hell of a lot to me. I'm just glad that we didn't cost any promotions. They've done it last week, and that's great for me. So real nice. And to go over at the end, very respectful for the Port Vale fans to stay off the pitch. Did it really well. And us to be able to go over and see those, what I think it's over 500 there. Wow. I didn't see too many Hawaiian shirts, but I saw a lot of pride at the end. They were very, very noisy during the game. You know, in somewhere where it's been promoted, to hear your own fans is really good, and gives me great enthusiasm and great belief that we can achieve at this place. And I'm really happy, and yeah, long may it go on.
And here's a few brief words from the goal scorer.
Before that, the boys' second half of the season has been excellent. Obviously, the gaffer coming in has changed the whole place, but it's been a good atmosphere. So yeah, good to get the win in the end. I feel like our plan was to spoil their party, and I feel like we've done that with the not just the goal, but the good performance that we put in, digging in the end. So, yeah, no, it's been a very good performance, yeah.
Staying with football, and Maidstone United are through to the National League South final. It's after a 2-1 win over Eastbourne Borough in the semis on Sunday. Here's manager George Elokobi.
Terrific, tremendous. That performance was for all connected with Maidstone United Football Club. So super proud of a group of players, but more importantly, proud of Maidstone United Football Club, our community, and our supporters. It was a game that we needed to control our emotions, and we know coming here, if we are to go one more step, we have to obviously be the first team to beat Eastbourne here, who I think, and I know, are a very, very good side. They've had a solid campaign, so Adamori and his team have to be proud of the season they've had. And you know, if you're going to go all the way, you have to make sure you beat the best teams in this league. And you know, Eastbourne are one of the best teams in the league. Tactically, we needed to make sure we was ready for what they were going to throw at us. We've done the work, we looked at different shapes, we looked at our principles,
And also we worked on different shapes as well. And it's important that when we prepare the squad, we prepare for the worst. So going a man down, which is, you know, we have to look at it again. The boys had to show a different dimension of themselves, a lot of character, belief, resilience, and they believed. And, you know, we nullified, we wanted to see the 5 minutes after Charlie was shown the second yellow, we wanted to see what Eastbourne was going to do. So you go keep your card close to your chest, and then we saw what they were doing, and tactically we needed to react to it in order to give them something to think about, and they did that. And it was important that, you know, got a touch on him. Aaron Blair, tireless worker, today could have had 3 goals. But most importantly, it was about getting through to the finals. And our group of players have done that superbly today.
They'll face Boreham Wood in the final on May 18th. It comes as Dover Athletic fans are celebrating their promotion to the National League South. They secured their immediate return following relegation last season, beating Dartford 2-0 in their playoff final yesterday. Dover boss Jake Lavelle told reporters how he was feeling after the game.
Overwhelmed a little bit, to be honest. Obviously, it's been such a roller coaster, hasn't it? It really has. And obviously, it's my first season in management, although, you know, let's be honest, I've been about a long time and I've worked under some unbelievable managers. And obviously, you know, you copy them, don't you? You take your bits on board. People like Chris Kinnear, Bill Williams, John Steele, Terry Brown, all them guys. You know, I've taken bits out of it. So fortunate to have such a good group. You know, from very early on, it was really apparent that we got a good group. But to win promotion, in amongst all the other teams, you know, that are established and established managers and established players, just goes to show, doesn't it? You can win things with kids.
First season as management, though, to get the promotion.
It's mental, isn't it? It is mental, isn't it? It really is. But, you know, I had an ethos. You know, like I say, I've worked with some unbelievable people. And I knew what I wanted. I wanted big, fit, strong boys with good attitudes that wanted to progress. Look, first and foremost, they want to progress their own careers. All of them. You know, there's no lad here that doesn't want to play higher. You know, often you can sign boys that are on their way down and, you know, a little bit of a pay packet and don't want to do the travelling. All of these boys would want to be in the National South and higher. So I was very much to get them boys. People say, you know, didn't have enough experience, but, you know, I've got the experience, if I'm honest, you know, and I can pass bits on, and, you know, we've learned from our mistakes as we've gone along. And I just felt we'd finish the season strong. I really did. But, you know, to finish as strong as we had, the Chichester one was the quarterfinal. And then, you know, to go to Billericay and win, you know, that was a really tough ask. I think it helped us, obviously, being beat here a few weeks ago when we lost 3-1. We were well beaten on the day. We were overpowered. So the boys really knew what to expect, and we were ready for them.
And briefly, taking a quick look at cricket, Kent have suffered their first defeat of the season in the county championship. They lost to Middlesex by 2 wickets at Lords and are now fourth in the Division 2 table. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.